Across the world, Indigenous people of many countries tell the same tale of colonisation and subsequent disadvantage and the struggle towards self-determination and control of policies that affect them. Karen Diver is a faculty fellow at the College of St. Scholastica in Toulouse, Minnesota, and former President's Special Assistant for Native American Affairs with the Obama administration. She is the keynote speaker at today's Indigenous Economic Development Forum being held in Cairns. I asked Karen to tell me about the parallel experiences of people of Native American descent and Indigenous Australians.
It's amazing how much we have in common. So when you look at kind of the effects of colonization and government policy, you know, it was really about, disconnecting people with culture. There's a lot of trauma, the boarding schools, you know, just created a lot of instability in families and over time, disparities in a lot of the social indicators that indicate wellness. And so those are certainly the same in the United States. And so today we were exploring, you know, where can we find some best practices to replicate and those parallel issues, what are some of the things we can share with each other around how do we address those issues?
What can Australia learn from policies that have been instigated in the U.S.?
I think the most important one is inclusion. Really, there shouldn't be policies around Indigenous Australians being put into place or service delivery without their involvement. That home and communities really know best, number one, how to act with cultural competency, and two, know best how to shape programs and services that will meet the needs of their communities and move them further along and reduce those disparities. So to have representation in government and to help build capacity of Indigenous communities to perform their own service delivery.
How does the U.S. do this differently? You've talked about representation, but are there other policies in place that really make a big difference?
I'm certainly not going to say that the U.S. has it all right, because these things are really on a continuum and will take some generational investment. But one of the things that I think is a real highlight is there's a concerted effort at the federal government level to make sure that there are highly placed Indigenous liaisons that can interact with communities, but also that the federal government meets regularly around Indigenous issues and looks how to break down silos between different federal agencies so that they can leverage resources and have an informed approach that all of government is aware of and try to align their resources accordingly, you know, really being more strategic and not just program focused, because individual initiatives won't necessarily change the course. But when you look at combining those resources and having a shared vision and engaging Indigenous communities in that vision, now you're talking about how to move those communities forward.
We just had the 10 years since the intervention in the Northern Territory, and we spoke to quite a number of people in communities there who are really focusing on the self-governance and how important that is for people living on homelands in particular. Is this something that you think is a good move towards achieving that better representation and better autonomy?
Absolutely, and I think it's one of the better things that has come out of federal tribal policy is really promoting home communities for self-determination and promoting their own sovereignty. One of the outcomes from being able to have Native American tribes determine their own policy priorities and program priorities is the average age of death of a Native American citizen in the 1960s was 56 years of age. Now with tribes running their own health programs and doing health education and prevention programs, that number has gone up to the late 70s. And that's in less than 50 years. So certainly, you know, the message from all of this is for disadvantaged communities, when they're included, a rising tide really does lift all boats. And it's good for all citizens of Australia to reduce those disparities.
Is there other countries that you aspire to emulate their support for their Indigenous cultures?
You know, it's been really interesting to me to have these experiences where I've gotten to interact with Indigenous people from other countries, and I think that each of us has our strengths and our continued challenges. The Maori, for example, have been very much leaders in language preservation and developing educational systems. They were able to do the language part because it's one language. But the models is something that have been studied by Native American tribes in terms of their own language preservation efforts. but there's over 300 languages that it's going to need to apply to. And healthy cultural identity is one of the resiliency factors for youth. And more resilient youth means less suicide, less adverse impacts from various social issues. So I think when we come together and really share program models, it is about efficiency and sharing best practices and learning from one another and supporting one another and recognizing that the diversity of each of our countries is actually a strength that we have, and lifting up that Indigenous voice is a real part of, you know, national identity.
Karen Diver, Faculty Fellow at the College of Scholastica in Toulouse, Minnesota, and former President Special Assistant for Native American Affairs with the Obama Administration.